If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about banking in this episode and the upcoming episodes, hopefully, or inshallah, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we start our program, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jal, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about the financial matters, according to the fatwas by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, let me ask you this question, Sheikh Tawid. Is it permissible for the bank officials to pay the profits generated by the very money deposited, in the banks by those customers to any personal legal entity?
Well, I think the question is very general, and it seems to me that there is some kind of ambiguity in the very question that you asked, because now the profit is given to whom? Is it given to the depositor, to the account holder, or to any person or any entity? Okay, that's the question, because what I understood from the question, that's the thing which makes it ambiguous. Now, if it is given to any person, like a poor person or an organization or an entity, I think there should be a procedure, there should be a policy which according to which the bank should act. You know, if the profits are the property of the bank, that's what I want to say. If the profits are the property of the bank, it is up to the bank to deal with the profits according to the procedure in place. So, it can, for example, if it makes a profit and then the profit belongs to the bank has the right and has the power to give it to whomever the bank wants to give. But if the profits are the property of the depositors or the account holders, it is at their disposal. It is, it should be given to the account holders. And sometimes the bank enters into an agreement with the account holder or with the depositor, and there is a kind of partnership between the depositor and the bank. So therefore, the profit should be at least a portion of the profit, let's say one third of the profit or two third of the profit, should be given to the account holder or to the depositor, and then the remaining can be owned or taken by the bank itself.
I see. Okay. Another question would be related to basically the kind of interest that people or depositors get from the bank by depositing some money in their own accounts, like some kind of savings account or whatever.
Yes.
Banks pay depositors these monthly interest right? This interest is sometimes even fixed, before the money that the account is open, basically, in the banks. So further, the depositor does not bear a loss, thus, Is it permissible to deposit any money for the purpose of, receiving such an interest? Or is such a transaction unlawful, religiously speaking, because it's riba-based?
Well, if the money was deposited in the savings account as a loan, while the transaction is based on interest, or it is stipulated at least to get interest, this clearly and understandably, of course, is a riba-based loan, because the deposit was based on interest, and it was stipulated. That the bank is supposed to give usury or riba to the account holder. So there is no doubt as to the fact that this transaction is basically a haram, it is illicit, it's unlawful, and the person who receives them the usury or riba is not entitled to it. He cannot own the money. And any profit which is made and received through such an agreement is illicit. It's considered to be riba. And of course, His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that alternatively, there is no harm in depositing the money with the bank for an investment in a Shari'i contract, because there are many halal transactions which can make the profit quite halal, quite lawful. And of course, fixing the rate is also permissible if it is part of a legal and lawful contract. Of course, we have discussed this in the previous episodes, that there are different kinds of transactions and contracts which make it halal for the investor to receive profit. And that is, of course, silent partnership, or that is ju'ala, and or maybe rent. The profit that comes from the money which is invested by the bank is obviously haram, if as long as it is used as invested capital by the bank.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away. La ilaha illallah,
Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en in the section Religious Affairs. You can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mahajad Hosts. In this program, Ashraf Tawid is still our guest speaker, answering my questions related to financial matters. Sheikh Tawid, if the mukallaf or duty bound or legal agent, whatever you call that individual, was unaware of certain improprieties in certain transactions that are performed, that are done by some bank employees, such as silent partnership and credit sales. Yes. Is it permissible for this individual, this legal agent, to deposit their money with the bank in order to obtain profits?
Well, if the duty-bound person, who you call, of course, mukallaf, is convinced somehow that the bank employees are investing his money in an illegal transaction, of course it's not permissible for him to either receive the profit and the profit, or make use of the profit. He's not allowed to do so, because the transaction was basically forbidden. It is, for example, his money was used in something haram, like promoting wine, or promoting something haram, like haram music, like selling and buying unlawful things like gambling tools and so on and so forth. So if he comes to know, or if he is convinced that his money was deposited in such areas, then of course he's not entitled to the profit. He cannot receive it. And but it's very difficult to make sure that his money was basically used for these purposes, or it was invested for in a haram transaction, because it's an uphill task to find out that it was basically invested for these purposes.
Yes.
So as long as he's not certain, as long as he does not know that his money was used for something haram, to promote something haram, then of course he can take the profit, and of course he is entitled to the profit which was agreed as part of a legal and lawful contract.
So what makes that kind of transaction like unlawful? Is it only the kind of transactions which are haram, basically done or executed on the part of the bank, that makes it haram?
Obviously, of course, if a transaction, there are two scenarios.
Yes.
First, maybe the depositor knows that his money is going to be invested or used to promote like gambling or wine or in an industry.
Which is obviously unlawful.
So this makes the transaction basically unlawful, and the money which is received
gained
or the profit
this,
which is gained is haram.
Yeah.
Now there's another scenario. If, for example, the depositor and the bank enter into a contract based on usury, and there is no actually partnership, there is no silent contract or, you know, silent partnership, or there is no rental or something like that, which make the contract lawful, and the depositing or the money is paid to the bank only based on the transaction on usury, stipulated in the contract, then in that case, of course, the money received by the investor, by the depositor, not investor, because we cannot use the term investor in this case, is going to be unlawful and haram.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, and thank you for joining us and listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير.